The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Speaking of sport and all of that, we talk about the pressure on young people to live up to what they see online, whether it be impossible standards, unrealistic ideas of beauty, or the latest internet fad. For some, this can manifest in unhealthy ways, and there's a growing concern in Ireland that young males in particular are risking their physical health in order to bulk up or get lean. Joining me now to talk about all of this, former Limerick hurler Barry Hennessy and Colin Lane, who's a physiotherapist with Physioactive in Cork. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning, Pat.
Colin, we go to you first and tell us, do you see a lot of this where they're in search of the body beautiful, maybe for sport, but maybe just for the optics of it?
To be honest, Pat, I think it's more for the what I see generally is it's more for the sports side of things, like, you know. I mean, there is the body image that comes with that as well. Like, but I think essentially a lot of the weight programs are geared towards improvements in sport.
So it is about performance.
It's about performance, and I think the issue here is that, you know, where the injury risk factors come into play there is the fact that when they're on these strength programs, they're going to, obviously, they're going to improve their strength, and then they're going to improve their power. And when with improvements in power, they begin to run faster, which means now that they have to decelerate from a higher velocity. They're going to jump higher. So now they have to land from a higher height. And because they feel strong, they tend to go into tackles harder as well. So they're all injury risk factors as far as I'm concerned, and from my experience of what's coming through the clinic.
So the question is, when young people do this, because obviously mature sportsmen and women are building muscle all the time and performing at the highest level. But when you start that process too young, what's happening?
That's a very important point, you see, because at these young ages, like, you know, their bones are not fully developed. In other words, they're dealing with immature bones, and their joints are vulnerable to this kind of level of overtraining. And at this age, you know, the growth plates, the areas of the bone where the growth is occurring from, those phases of growth occur in around the 13, 14, 15 mark, you know. Yeah. And that's a crucial developmental period, and it can lead overtraining and overloading can lead to distortions of these growth areas in the bone. And so, from my experience, I suppose the most vulnerable joint for me in that context, it would be the hip joint. I mean, the hip joint itself is a ball and socket joint, and it can become malformed at a very vulnerable age, and you can develop conditions that will, in time, lead to arthritic conditions, very early onset of arthritic conditions, if overloaded at a very young age.
And when kids who get up to this kind of excessive building at that early stage, when they are scanned or X-rayed, what can you see?
You see subtle changes. I mean, the radiologists would be better at describing this for you, but you do see subtle changes on X-ray. Like, you see extra little bony growths occurring where the ball and socket joint, we say of the hip joint in particular, should be very spherical in nature. It begins to flatten out. Like, so you get clinically on an X-ray, you'll see that flattening out, and clinically, when you examine the patient, they'll have reduced range of motion in their hip joint in particular.
Now, presumably, the only way to fix that long term would be have a hip replacement. But no one really wants to.
I mean, there's a lot of steps between that. Like, I mean, they'll develop the malformations at an early age. They'll be completely asymptomatic. They won't feel any symptoms of it. They'll get through their sporting career. They could be 25, 26, 27 before they start experiencing any kind of symptoms. And then suddenly they'll have a heavy training session, and they'll feel difficult the following morning to put on their shoes and socks, because that'll involve a little bit of rotation. And then that's when the symptoms start to become, that's when the symptoms manifest. And then, you know, that's when they start presenting to me.
Okay, but in terms of the kind of exercises that the teenagers are doing prematurely, what would they be? Is it lifting dead weights in the gym? Is it?
You see, and this is my point, Pat. It's not so much the weights per se. It's You know, if these guys are lifting weights to improve their performance in sport, then they're going to be, as I said earlier, they're going to be able to run faster, they're going to be able to jump higher, they're going to be able to perform better. In that context, then they're going to be picked on more teams. They might come to the attention of their schools, their colleges, their own clubs. They might be playing at various different age groups and that. So it's the combination of all of that, you know, is where the problem arises, because their training load, their volume of training per week becomes excessive, and that's where the problem arises then. Mm.
All right, Colin, it's a salutary warning anyway to young people that, you know, their bones are still developing at that in the early teens, and really not too much pressure should be put on them until those bone plates are fully formed. Barry Hennessy, former Limerick curler. Barry, good morning.
Pat, how are you?
Now, your issue was different.
Yeah, I suppose I can come from the other side of it, Pat, compared to what Colin was speaking about there. I know for myself, I had a perception of what, I'd always had an aspiration to play intercounty hurling for Limerick, Pat, and I kind of had a perception of what an elite athlete should look like. And it was your stereotypical 6-8-pack Greek god that you'd see there online at the moment on social media.
Yeah.
And that was probably something that I chased, Pat, because unfortunately I'm on the latter part of my career, and gym work when I was in my teens wasn't really a thing. But it was more in search of that physique, I suppose, that I went with, and went to crazy extremes to try and attain that.
Now, you've actually talked about having an eating disorder. I mean, you need, when you're performing at a high level as a sports person, you need your calories.
Oh, 100%, Pat. And going back to what Colin was saying there with the training side of things as well, I think when you've aspirations of playing at elite level, Pat, you'll tell yourself whatever story you have to do, whether it's from a training point of view or a food point of view, and you'll convince yourself that you're doing the right thing. And it leads to trouble in the long term.
So you developed an eating disorder. And at what point did you realise that there was something going on that should not be going on? Or did other people say, hang on a second, Barry, you know, what's up with you?
It would have been noticed, I suppose, Pat, when I first came on the senior team here in Limerick. And I would have been a guy that was always kind of about 80, 82 kilos. And I think at that stage I was hovering down around 70, 71. So I looked quite sick and quite gaunt. And I suppose people were starting to pick up on that. And I was asked on multiple occasions, was I sick? Or I hope this is the end of your weight loss. So people did start to notice it. And I suppose at that stage, it was kind of the red flag to me that, okay, people are kind of starting to cop on to me here now a little bit. So I need to get myself in gear and get my act together.
And how did you get your act together?
Do you know what, Pat? As much as you try and steer people away from Dr. Google and going online and researching things, I suppose I did a lot of self-research. And I suppose I kind of felt that at the time, what people thought about me would have been a big concern of mine. So I was just doing a lot of reading, I suppose, and I kind of self-diagnosed bulimia. And I kind of knew that if I was to succeed and get to the highest level possible, for me and my sport was hurling, that I would just need to cop on. And my performance was suffering, Pat, my life was suffering around it, my relationships are suffering. So it was kind of that wake-up moment for me that I needed to sort this out and get some help.
Yeah, now it's not always possible for people to self-diagnose and self-heal. So we must stress that some people will need to get outside help. But you managed to isolate your problem, to diagnose it, and then to deal with it yourself.
At the time, Pat, yeah, well, I thought I was doing the right thing. It probably manifested itself later on in my life as well, where I did seek actual professional help. And to be fair, body-wise, were extremely accommodating to me and very, very helpful at getting to the root cause, I suppose, of things. So I would stress to people like you did there to seek out help and professional help at that matter as well, because until you do, you actually don't, you're only papering over a crack.
Now, we've been concentrating in our conversation about, you know, performance and athleticism and sport. But of course, there are many people who are looking at this imagery online, Barry, and they'll never hit a ball, never kick a football or puck a slither. You know, they're doing it for other reasons.
Yeah, and I think I suppose, especially with social media at the moment, Pat, you see a lot of, I suppose, experts in their fields, and they're trying to, I suppose, monetize things and monetize their businesses, and because that's their day-to-day job. But I have a lot of close friends that are in, I suppose, the fitness business, and the levels that they go to get the snaps, I suppose, is what people are looking at on their social media, Pat, to get into that incredible shape that you see them in, and the lengths they go to, it's not easy. And I don't think people actually, and especially teenagers, to understand the level and extreme levels that these people go to and what they do and maybe what they're taking as well to get to that level, you know, and they may be preying on teenagers' emotional vulnerabilities. And it causes problems in Pat, because they think that's attainable and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, to get a six-pack, I don't know, did you ever succeed in having that rock-hard six-pack that you craved?
I did, Pat, but I can tell you it was probably one of the most miserable times of my life, because trying to keep it in was was harder than trying to get it. So
yeah, I often think that you know, people work very hard in the gym, they get the six-pack, and then they go off on holidays for a fortnight and it's gone.
Yeah, or until you look in the press, Pat, and you pick up a slice of bread and you swell after it. So it's actually harder to try and keep it, Pat, than is anything else, because you're just eliminating so much stuff from your diet and from your life. But it's not worth living, really.
Well, it's a salutary warning from you both as to how teenage boys and parents, obviously, of those kids should be maybe aware of this phenomenon, which is fairly widespread with the help of social media. The BodyWise number for anyone who's been affected by this issue, or the parent of someone who they suspect may be affected by this, it's a Dublin number, 01-210-7906. 210-7906. And Barry Hennessy and Colin Lane, thank you both very much for joining us on the line this morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.